I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 15. In honor of the word of the Lord, would you please stand as I read a portion of it for us? Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 3. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, let's pray. Our good and our holy God, we thank you for this night, for this opportunity to worship you, for the gift of the table, for your invitation to come. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, speak that our souls may hear. We pray in Christ's name, saying together, amen and amen. Please be seated. Friends, I don't know if you know this, but you have to be careful who you're seen eating with. That was the rules back in kindergarten. It was the rules in high school. If you go back thousands of years, you know that to eat with someone is not just to share calories, but it's to share life. And people will make certain judgments about you according to who you share a table with. Jesus was sharing a table with some unsavory folks. And the church people got upset about it. And they started to grumble and to complain. So Jesus did what he often did. He told a series of stories. He could have done it in a different way, but he told them a series of stories because he loved those people that grumbled against him as much as he loved those at his table. And they were hard-headed folks. If he'd have come directly at them, they'd have just fought back directly. So he told them some stories. There were three in all. And they're numerical stories. One story dealt with the number 100, one story with the number 10, and one story with the number 2. And they just get more serious as they go. The first story is found in chapter 15, verses 4 to 7. It's about 100 sheep. There was a person who had 100 sheep. And he had a responsibility to count those sheep. I could imagine a little Jewish kid saying, "Mama, Mama, why do I have to study all this math?" And she probably said, "If you want to grow up to be a shepherd one day, you better learn how to count." And so in the real world, hey, when will I ever need this math in the real world? But if you're going to tend to the sheep, you're going to need to be able to do the math. There's a lot of counting that goes on when you're raising animals, right? And so here he is out there, this shepherd. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 12, 12, 12, 12. He did it every night. And one night he got to 99 and he couldn't find little Teddy, the 100th. And this was not enough. You'd say, well, 99 sheep's plenty. Not for this shepherd, because he'd care for 100. And so he left those 99 safely in the fold and he went out to search for the lost one. He went out and looked. He climbed up, he climbed down, he crossed the streams, he cut his legs up in the briars, he sweated, he bled, he pleaded at the sky, and he found his sheep. And when he did, he put that sheep on his shoulders and he came and he found his co-workers and his friends, and he celebrated. He said, "This one that was lost, I found him. He's back in the fold. Celebrate with me. Celebrate with me. This one is back. The lost has been found. We must celebrate." Years ago, Meredith and I were living in a little parsonage in South Mississippi. I was going to school in New Orleans, and we were pastoring a community in Wanilla, a little community. Everybody in that church farmed something. We had peanut farmers. We had catfish farmers. We had a few offshore oil workers, but everybody farmed something. And one morning, we were in the little parsonage, and we heard clang-a-lang-a-lang, clang-a-lang-a-lang, clang-a-lang-a-lang. And I said, "Meredith, those wind chimes don't sound right." And we looked out, and there was a goat standing on the top of our little Mazda car. And just a little goat. And I got concerned. How am I going to get this goat off the top of this car? Scratching up everything. What are we going to do about this goat? And Meredith just looked out the window. She said, "That's Christy Bowles' goat." She was the bright young girl in our youth group. She was a salutatorian at Lawrence County High School. She's the queen of the FFA. And this was a goat that she'd been raising. And Christy's goat was lost. Also standing on the top of my car. So Meredith called down to the Bowles house and said, "Christy's goat's on our car." And Christy got there in a New York minute with tears of gratitude in her eyes, because she loved that little animal. And she took him home, and we all celebrated with her. There were 100 sheep. Jesus could have told one story, but he told another one. He said, "There was a woman, and she had a stack of coins, 10 in all." Now, if I stacked up 10 coins right here on the top of this pulpit, and you looked from the fourth pew down, you wouldn't be able to tell if they were 10 or 9. You look at a stack of coins from the distance, it's hard to tell if there's 10 or 9. You only find out if there's 10 and not 9 if you count those coins. And one day she was counting her coins, and she came up with 9. And she panicked. And she lit the lights, and she swept the house till she could find that lost coin. When my great-grandmother Mackie Tate Fleming died, she left a little bit of stuff for all of us, things that were precious to her. And there were these little velvet coin purses for all the grandchildren. Our names were down on the inside of them. And then inside of each one were 10 silver coins from the late 1800s, the early 1900s. She was born in 1904. She'd saved them since she was a child. She wanted us, her great-grandchildren, to have them. I looked it up. The price of one of those coins in melt value today is $21.58. They were precious to her, and to me, they're more precious than $21 apiece. That lady had precious coins, and she lost one. She wasn't content with the 9. So she swept her house till she found it. And when she did, she celebrated. Because lost things are precious. And when they're found, we must rejoice. One of the greatest theologians in the 20th century was a German man named Jürgen Moltmann. He lived to be almost 100 years of age. He died very recently. In his late 90s, he wrote a book on the resurrection. They asked him, "Why did you choose this to write as your last book?" He says, "Well, I'm almost 100 years old. What else should I be writing about?" He didn't start off as an esteemed theologian. He started off as a German kid trying to figure out life. And when World War II broke out, he was drafted into the German army. And he fought with a swastika on his shoulder. He had Nietzsche and Goethe in his bag. He did not know the Lord. He was captured, and he went to a Scottish POW camp, and a chaplain gave him a New Testament with the Psalms in it. He said, "I'd have rather had a pack of cigarettes that day because I was craving those." But he gave him a Bible. He was a bright young man with not much to do in a POW camp, so he read it. And in reading the Bible, he fell in love with the Jesus of those pages. And years, years, years later, reminiscing on this event, he said, "I read the story of the Passion again and again for preference in the Gospel of Mark. This early companionship with Jesus, the brother in suffering, and the companion on the road to the land of freedom has never left me ever since. And I became more and more assured of it. I've never decided for Christ once for all, as often demanded of us. I've decided again and again in specific terms for discipleship of Christ when situations were serious and it was necessary. But right down to this present day, after almost 60 years, I am certain that then in 1945, and there in the Scottish prisoner of war camp, in the dark pit of my soul, Jesus sought me and found me. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, and so he came to me when I was lost." lost things are precious to Jesus. She had 10 coins and wasn't content with 9. When she found the 10th, she celebrated. She celebrated. Those stories might have worked, but Jesus saved probably the best for last. And in verses 11 to 32, he tells the story not of 100 sheep or 10 coins, but of two brothers, two boys. The younger of the brother, in typical younger brother fashion, went to the daddy one day and said, "Daddy, I was daydreaming about when you died and all that was coming to me. Can I just go and have it now?" It's kind of a wild, absurd story if you think about it. I mean, Jesus told wild and absurd stories. And breaking with custom and tradition and good sense, the father gave him what he asked for. Be careful what you ask for. You just might get it. And he took that money and he traveled to a far country. Jesus didn't tell us where, possibly Egypt. I mean, that's where I would go if I was in this story. Went to a far country where the food was spicy and the girls were pretty and the lights were bright. He went to a far country. And the first thing he did was waste most of his money. I mean, we can do a lot of damage to ourselves, but the world hits hard to everybody. And the second thing that happened to him, there was a famine in the land. Double whammy, insult to injury. And he got low, 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 really low. Roger Miller, the singer, said, "Sometimes you have to reach up to touch rock bottom." And that's where he found himself. He was so hungry, he got a job working the swine. You're like, that's not a bad deal. I worked pigs when I was a kid. Well, you probably weren't an Orthodox Jewish kid. This is the lowest possible thing. He craved the pods that the pigs ate. He was broken. And he was lost. Verse 17 said, he came to himself. He came to himself. There are times we have to look ourselves squarely in the face and deal with reality and where we are in relation to where we could be. Verse 17 said, he came to himself. Verse 20 said, he came to his father. He had a plan to see if his dad would just hire him on. The bunkhouse was better than the swine. Just get a job. So he's coming home to dad. Before he can get to his father and give the rehearsed lines, his father sees him from a long distance. He runs to him. He embraces him. He puts a robe on him, a ring on his finger, shoes on his feet. Kills the fatted calf. Calls the neighbors and they have a big old party. Why? Because his son was lost and now was found. Lost things are precious and need to be celebrated. The father had just been waiting on that porch. You say, well, in all those other stories, those other two, Jesus told about people who went out in a frantic search. But in this story, the father wasn't on a frantic search. He was on the porch just sort of waiting. But there was a frantic search in this story that's often overlooked because we decided to name this the story of the prodigal son and not the story of the two brothers. In those other stories, somebody was counting. What about this third? Well, it turns out somebody was counting. During that party, that daddy was looking around. Even as his one son was there, he was looking around, counting. He got to one, was hoping for two. He couldn't get to two. He said he's out in the field, and he's not happy. And the father leaves the party. Like the shepherd who went for the sheep, like the woman who went for her coin, the father leaves the party for the son. And out there in the dust of the field away from the noise and the laughter of the party, the father looks his lost son, his second lost son, in the eye. And he says, why aren't you in there? He said, that brother of mine, that son of yours, he blew it all. And here we are having a party for him here. I've been here all the time. And you've never, and it's an understandable attitude. Why? Me. Forgot about his father and he forgot about his lost brother and it all became about him in that moment and he was missing the party. And so his father, his dignified, strong father, begged him to come to the party, saying it was right for us to make merry, for your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. Lost things are precious to Jesus. We're not sure if that brother went into the party because Jesus left it hanging there. And he left it hanging there because he loved those people back in verses 1 and 2 who were seeing the party and who were mad at him, fussing and complaining that those sinners and tax collectors were at the table. You see, they were the older brother. They were the older brother out in the field in the pout and not in the party. They'd lost the plot line. You see, friends, there's a couple of ways to be lost. One is to chase off after selfish things, living wasteful and reckless lives. The kind of loss that gets us into the pig pen. There's one way to be lost. But there's another. To deep down think that God's lucky to have us and spend our life wondering why he's got so much grace for these folks. There's more than one way to be lost. But to both kind of lost people, God has a name, precious child, son, daughter. I suspect some of us are lost tonight. And hear me on the authority of God's word say to you, come home. Come in. Come to the party. There is room and welcome for you. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the power of your truth. And we thank you that you love us with an extravagant love, with a searching love, with a passionate love. We thank you, Lord, that you have come for us. And by your Holy Spirit, that you continue to come for us. You seek and you save the lost. Lord, I pray that you would, by your Spirit, draw us home and help us to find the joy and the delight of celebrating the power of your redeeming grace. You being the one who saves sinners like me. Lord, we love you. We thank you for loving us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.